and welcome to Lectionary at Lunch at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. I'm Professor Tom Egger, and we're going to be looking at the Old Testament pericope today from Ezekiel chapter 34, and then we'll be treating the gospel lesson from Luke 15, parable of the lost sheep. Ezekiel 34 is a great text. It is all full of shepherd and sheep. The root roeh, or ra'ah, to tend or to feed, or noun forms of that like pasture, mir'ah, occur 32 times in the 31 verses of Ezekiel 34. So it's an extended metaphor that just works and works and works through the chapter, and it really doesn't let up until the very end. In Ezekiel 34, we're going to be beginning at verse 11, but the chapter begins, verses 1 through 10, with God's rebuke against the bad shepherds of Israel. He says he's against the shepherds of Israel because they haven't shepherded the people. They've fed themselves and not the sheep, and in fact, sometimes they've fed themselves with the sheep instead of feeding the sheep. And then when we come to verse 11, we enter a section which is beautiful gospel. Verses 11 through 15 establish the fact that even though the shepherds have not tended the sheep must be tended. And so God himself promises in verses 11 following that he himself will shepherd the flock. Then in the middle of our pericope, verses 16 to 22, there's this both warning and promise that God will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. God will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. And finally, in verses 23 and 24, we reach the climax of our pericope, where God promises that he will establish one shepherd over the flock, and it will be his servant David. So let's jump in with verse 11. We're in Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning at verse 11. Ki ko amar Adonai Yahweh, for thus says Lord Yahweh, Hineni ani, v'darashti et zoni, u'vikartim. Hineni ani is an interesting construction before a vav, consecutive perfect. Very woodenly, it's behold I myself, but then it continues not directly with a verb, but with a conjunction plus the verb, a vav consecutive perfect. So it really puts the emphasis on the ani. Hineni itself is first person common singular, but then it's followed by another first person common singular pronoun, ani, and that's going to be the emphasis throughout these verses. These are jam-packed first person common singular verses. It's all about what the speaker, Yahweh, is going to do. Hineni ani, behold I myself, behold me, and I will darash my flock. I will seek or look for, direct object, my zone, my flock, or my sheep, and I will bakar them. And it's a synonym of darash. I will seek them. Notice the vav consecutive perfect ending T on who the car team. And the mame on the end is, the eem ending is not a masculine plural eem ending like you're used to seeing. The mame is actually the object suffix. We're going to see this a number of times. First common singular perfect endings, T, followed by the mame object suffix. So, and I will seek them. Verse 12. Ke vakarak ro'eh ed ro'. Like, and now this is a verbal noun, which comes from the same root that we just had, to seek, like the seeking of a shepherd his flock. Eder is another word for flock. So like a shepherd seeks his flock, and now a temporal clause, b'yom hehyoto b'tok zono, on the day of his being, hehyoto, hehyot is the call infinitive construct of hayah, so on the day of his being, batok zono, in the midst of his flock. Now we have a nifal participle, which is standing in attributive position to his flock, or actually technically it would want the definite article to be in attributive position, but really that's the only way to take this, as an adjective modifying his flock. It's a little bit problematic because the root parash, as it's written here, doesn't seem to fit the context, and so most suggest that you read this as paras with a sin instead of a shin. And that would mean to spread out in the call, or here in the Niphal, the being spread out. So the scattered or spread out flock. So having said all that, it really doesn't add a whole lot of meaning to the sense here. Like a shepherd seeks for his flock on the day when he stands in the midst of his scattered flock. That introduces the comparison. Now we get the point of the comparison. Cain, so also, thus. Avakir et zoni, thus I will seek my flock. So like a shepherd seeks his flock when he's standing there and realizes it's all spread out and scattered, thus Yahweh promises he will Bakar seek his flock. V'hitzalti etahem, and I will netzal them in the hithil, I will deliver them or rescue them, mikol hamakomot, from all the places, asher nafotsu sham, which they have been scattered. This is a nafotsu is a nifal perfect of the hollow root poots. A nifal perfect of the hollow root poots. And it's in this relative clause, so I will rescue them from all the places which they have been scattered, sham, there. And sham is that resumptive particle which clues you to translate the relative pronoun as where. So from all the places where they have been scattered. And now a very interesting temporal clause at the end of verse 12 here. B'yom anan v'arafel. On a day of cloud and thick darkness. Now, cloud itself is sometimes just cloud, but also, of course, in the Old Testament, it's theophany language, God being present with cloud. But Arafel is almost always theophany language. God dwells in Arafel, thick darkness. He wraps himself in thick darkness. Thick darkness was there at Sinai. The prophets talk about the day of the Lord as being a day of Arafel, thick darkness. And so it's very much a word which communicates divine presence and even last days kind of language. This is setting the promise of the shepherd's activity in the prophet's language of last days, on a day of cloud and thick darkness. He continues, verse 13. Behotzeitim min ha'amim. And notice again the perfect ending, first common singular T followed by the object suffix maim. And I will hifil of yetzah them, I will bring them out from the peoples, and I will kavat them, I will gather them, min ha'aratzot, from the lands. V'haviyotim el admatam. And I will, the hifil of bo, I will bring them el admatam, into their adama, into their land, or onto their own turf. U'ra'itim el harim Yisrael. And I will ra'a them, I will feed them, or shepherd them, el harei Yisrael, to the mountains of Israel. In Ezekiel, El, the preposition El sometimes overlaps with the preposition all. And so here you could probably take it in the sense of all, upon the mountains of Israel. Ba'afikim, in the ravines or the deep water channels of the valley, in the ravines. U v'kol moshevei ha'aretz, and in all the places of the land. Or possibly in all the inhabited places of the land. Moshevei, the noun Moshevei, of course, comes from Yeshav, to dwell. But it can also just mean location or place. So the question here is the metaphor of shepherd and sheep being somewhat broken here? The shepherd's going to bring them back into their own adama, their own land, and he's going to feed them on the mountains. And in all of the inhabited places, is there kind of a peak that he's actually talking about people here? Because sheep wouldn't feed in the inhabited places so much. Or is it just generic for locations then? And you could probably read it either way. Verse 14. B'mir'eh tov er'eh otam. The noun mir'eh means pasture or pasturage. You can see it's built on the verb ra'ah, to shepherd or to feed. In a good pasture I will feed them. U'v'harei marom Yisrael yihyeh neveihem. And on the mountains of the height of Israel, yihyeh neveihem, will be their neve, their pasture, a synonym of mir'eh. So they will. I will feed them in a good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel, their pasture will be. Notice the Atnach. The next phrase is introduced by Sham, so there's an emphasis here on the locatedness. He's brought them back into the mountain heights of Israel. Sham, there, tir batsna b'nave tov, u'mir'eh shaman tir'ena el harei Yisrael. There, and now tir'batsna is our tik'tolna form. You really don't come across this all this often for as many times as you recite it in elementary Hebrew class. It's the feminine plural imperfect from ravatz, to lie down. There, they, referring to the sheep in the feminine, there they will lie down in a good nave, in a good pasture. And then a disjunctive accent. Now, and you take this as an accusative of place here, so you supply a preposition, and in a mir'eh shamen, a fat pasture. Fat just refers to fertile or rich or lush, I suppose you would say, and in a lush or a fat mir'eh pasture, they will ra'ah. Ra'ah, when a human is the subject, refers to tending or shepherding, but when an animal is the subject of ra'ah, it means to eat, to feed, or to graze. So, and in a fat pasture, they will graze el harei Yisrael. And again, probably read the preposition el as the preposition all, upon the mountains of Israel. Verse 15. Ani er'eh zoni. Notice how the pronoun is superfluous here. You don't need it with the first person imperfect, so it's emphatic. I myself will shepherd or will feed my sheep. V'ani er'bitzem. And I myself will, the hithil of ratzav, or of ravatz, which in the call is to lie down, so I will cause them, I myself will cause them to lie down. Ne'um Adonai Yahweh. Adonai Yahweh. Oracle of the Lord Yahweh. Notice how verse 15, the verbs to lie down and to feed, echo the verbs of verse 14. In verse 14, it's they, feminine plural, the sheep, who will lie down and who will feed. It's gospel language. It's a good picture. But 15 returns to this first-person language. We just keep coming back to the first-person language. They will lie down and feed, but then God makes it clear in the next verse, I myself will feed them. I myself will cause them to lie down. There's no question who alone is responsible for the sheep's welfare here. Verse 16. Et ha-ovedet avakesh. Direct object begins the clause here. It's a feminine singular participle, a substantive participle with the direct object, with the definite article on it, and it's referring to the sheep. So the avoding one. The avoding one, normally avod means to perish with humans, but with animals it can mean to wander off or go astray. So the wandering one I will bakash, seek, b'et hanidakat, and the nifal of nadaking one. Nadak means in the nifal to go astray or wander off, so it's really a synonym of the previous substantive participle. And the wandering one, ashiv, I will bring back. V'la nishberet ekavosh Ve'et Hakola Akazek. And with respect to the Nishberet, the Nifal participle of Shabar, to break. So the being broken one, I will kavash, I will bind up. When an animal is broken, you might say it's torn apart. I suppose that's what's in those which have been torn apart either by briars or wild animals, I will bind up. And direct object, ha-kola, this is from the verb kala, which means to become weak. So, and the weak one, the being weak one, I will kazak. In the PL, I will make strong. Notice the atnak now under ekazek. The thought changes, even though we have another direct object marker. But v'et ha shemena v'et ha kazaka. Here we have two feminine singular adjectives now instead of feminine singular participles. Again, we're talking about sheep, but it's a different category of sheep. But the fat one, ha shemena, and the ha kazaka, the strong one, eshmid, I will, the hifil of shemad, I will destroy. Erena b'mishpat, I will feed her, or feed it, that kind of sheep, in other words. I will ra'ah, that kind of sheep, b'mishpat, with justice, or in justice. Is he actually feeding justice to the sheep, or is he feeding them justly, injustice. I suppose you could say it either way. All right, on to verse 17. The address now becomes very specific. Everything's been third person, Yahweh describing the situation with these sheep from the first person perspective, but now he addresses second person. V'atena. Here again we have a form that you learn well in elementary Hebrew and then seldom see. The second person feminine singular independent pronoun, or second person feminine plural independent pronoun, aten. And it has an extra ah on the end of it here in this occurrence. And you, or now you, zoni, my flock. This is evocative. Now you, my flock. God's addressing the sheep themselves now in the second person. Ko amar Adonai Yahweh. Thus says the Lord Yahweh. Hidani shofet. Behold, I am about to shafat. I am about to judge. Bain seh, la seh. Between sheep and sheep. Normally you get bain uvain, between this and between that. But the construction can also be bain and la something. Between this to that. And it really has the same sense, between two things. So I'm about to judge between sheep and sheep. And the sense of between continues here, or possibly with respect to, or even a normative lamed here, according to rams and according to he-goats. La elim v'la etudim. The words for sheep that we've had so far, zon and seh, can refer to either sheep or goats. But now these two terms at the end here make a distinction. An IL is a sheep ram, and an atud is a he goat. So he's making distinctions now. He's going to judge, and he's warning the sheep themselves about this coming judgment. Hama'at mekem, ma'at mekem, little from you, plural, normally means it is too little for you. Something like that. It is too small a thing for you. Here it has an interrogative hey on the front. You can tell because there's no dagesh in the main. Is it too small a thing for you? And you supply a key here and an understood that. Ha mir'eh hatov tir'u. Is it too small a thing for you? The pasture, the good one, you have eaten. You have eaten the good pasture. Is it too small a thing for you that you have eaten the good pasture? And then you can read what follows, perhaps as a result clause. It's too small a thing that you've just eaten the good pasture, and that the yeter, the remainder, mir ekem, of your pasture, tir masu, Barag Lechem. You are trampling with your feet, by means of your feet. So he's addressing the sheep here, and he's saying, is it too small a thing that you get to eat the best of the pasture? You also trample everything that remains with your feet. Umishkah, Mayim, and clear water, Tishtu, you are drinking. Va'et hanotarim, barag lechem, tir pashun. And direct object, the remaining part, this is a nithal participle of yatar, substantive participle, and the remaining parts, with your feet, you are muddying or trampling. The idea here is that they're drinking in a stream and then they're trampling on the water that's left for the others to drink from, or drinking from a pool and then trampling and muddying the waters that are left. Verse 19. Vutsoni. This is a disjunctive vav that introduces a new subject. And as for my flock, or but my flock, mirmas rag lechem tir ena. The trampled part of your feet, or the stuff trampled of your feet. This is a strange noun. It's basically a hapax, and it's built from ramas, the verb that we just had for trample, that which is trampled or something. It's usually glossed at. Glossed as. Maybe Ezekiel's inventing a word here. I don't know. And as for my flock, or but my flock, the stuff trampled by your feet, they are eating. They must eat. And the stuff muddied or trampled, again, a noun built on rafas, the other verb for trample, and the stuff trampled, raglechem, by your feet, tishtena, they must drink. So you drink the good stuff, you eat the good stuff, you ruin the rest, but my flock, they are forced to get the ruined leftovers. And so God is addressing his flock here, and yet as he addresses them, he also makes a distinction between what you, the addressees, are doing and what my flock is left with. So he calls them my flock, and yet he distinguishes the ones being rebuked from his flock, in a sense. All right, going on to verse 20. Lachain, Koamar Adonai Yahweh. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, Elohim, to them, Hineni ani, v'shafati, or v'shafati, bein se, biryah, uvein se, razak. Behold, I myself, or behold, it is I, and I will judge between the sheep, the fat one, between a fat sheep, and between a sheep, a lean one, and a lean sheep. 21. Ya'an, because. And this because clause of verse 21 will be the grounds for the statement that follows in verse 22. Because by means of sod, with a side, or by means of a side, and by means of a katef, a shoulder, teh dofu, you shove. So he's speaking to the sheep, and he's saying, with a shoulder, or with their side, and with the shoulder, you shove. U v'karnekem tir nagku. And with your horns, the word here is karen, horn, and with your horns, you butt. When an ox does this, it's goring. When a sheep does it, I guess it's butting. With your horns, you butt kol ha-nahalot, all the weak ones. Ad asher ha-fitzotem otana el hakutsa, until you have scattered the hithil of kutz, until you have scattered them to the outside. So you do all this thrusting and butting until all the weak ones are pushed to the outsides. And the outside is referring to the flock, to the outside of the flock. Well, we're drawing near our time here, so we're going to have to pause there. But God goes on to say that he will take care of this. He himself will tend the flock. He will deliver them. Because the fat sheep are mistreating the weak sheep, God himself will deliver them. And he'll do that by putting over them one shepherd, his shepherd David. What's amazing in this text, I think, is that God speaks everything in the emphatic first person about how he himself, no other, is going to tend and shepherd this flock because the shepherds of Israel have failed. And yet it all builds up to the end of this pericope where he then all of a sudden says, and I will put my servant David over them. One shepherd, he calls them. And he will be prince in their midst. And so there's this interesting overlap. Only God can fulfill this job of shepherd. All others have failed, and yet he'll do it through his servant David. And it's obviously beautifully fulfilled by Jesus Christ, the God-man, the son of David, who is Yahweh himself standing in the midst of the flock and feeding them. It's an eschatological picture. It refers to what he did at his eschatological coming when the fulfillment of the ages came at his incarnation and life. Also, it looks forward to the last day when he'll finally gather his flock and feed them. It's a good rebuke and gospel for those who always want to thrust themselves forward and deprive all others, always pushing themselves to the front. It rebukes us for that, but it also then turns around, especially by the end of chapter 34, verse 31, the last verse, and it calls us again, my flock. So it affirms that in this shepherd David, we become the flock of Yahweh again. It's also great law for those who are beaten down by leaders who have failed them or oppressed them in this life. And it reminds us that we have a leader who is not faithless and selfish, but we have a perfect shepherd in Yahweh and his Davidic shepherd.